Santor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Breakaway by Heather M. Orgeron. Narrated by Jacoby Diem and Vanessa Edwin. Chapter 1. Colton, age 13.
It was my 13th birthday, and Mama was finally letting me have my first boy-girl party. Well, technically, Alex had been at every party I'd ever had, but she didn't count. Alex was, well, Alex. We'd been friends since we were in diapers, and our mother's best friends since they were just little girls. We'd lived next door to each other our entire lives, and still had sleepovers every weekend. She was like a sister, only not. Anyway, the boy-girl party was a really big deal. Mama said we could have it in the pool house, and promised not to bother us as long as we behaved. Allie and I had spent the entire day prepping, and I thought she was as excited about it as I was. But there I was, chasing her scrawny butt through the yard back to her house. Most of the time, Al was really cool, but she was still a girl, and sometimes she even acted like one. "Alex," I called after her, "would you just freaking stop and talk to me? I hate you, Colton Fowler," she screamed without looking back as she climbed the porch steps and disappeared through the front door, slamming it so hard the whole porch rattled. Girls. What I really wanted to do was turn around and go back to my party, but I would have gotten in trouble for making her cry, and maybe it bugged me just a little, too. Once she was inside, I stopped running and slowly made my way to the front door, which of course was locked. I rolled my eyes, grumbling under my breath as I rang the doorbell and waited for Mrs. Mack to let me in. My hands started to sweat when I heard the heavy footsteps approaching the door.
"Hey, Colton," Mrs. Mack said, trying and failing to hide a smirk. "What did you do this time?"
"Hell if I know."
I shrugged, then jumped back when her hand flew out and swatted my arm.
"Watch your language, young man."
"Sorry," I mumbled, rubbing out the sting.
"She's in her room, Colt. Go on up."
Mrs. Mack stepped back so I could pass.
"If her door's locked, there's a bobby pin in the vase on the hall table," she added with a wink.
I nodded, then ran across the house and up the stairs to Allie's room. I didn't bother checking to see if it was locked. I knew it would be, so I grabbed the pin on the way and popped the door open.
"Colton!"
she screamed, covering herself with a t-shirt she was preparing to slip over her head. I should have turned or left or done anything but stand there with my mouth hanging open, but that's precisely what I did. Just stood there, staring. I hadn't seen Alex naked in years. Our mothers had put an end to that when we were around 5. Alex was tiny and not really developed, but seeing her topless and her boobs... Alex had boobs? Little ones, but boobs. That was the moment it truly hit me that Alex was a girl. A real one. A real one with boobs.
"Ugh," she growled, turning her back to me while she pulled the shirt on. "You are such a jerk."
Alex turned back around, shooting me a death glare.
Sorry, Al.
"Have you ever heard of knocking, pervert?"
I didn't know what to say. This was weird.
"Just go back to your party with your stupid friends and stupid Marcy."
She threw herself face down on her bed, and her body started to shake with sobs.
Shit.
My eyes began to water. I hated that she could make me cry with only a few tears.
"Don't cry, Allie."
I sat on the side of her bed and stroked the long brown waves of hair strewn across her back.
"Don't be embarrassed. It's not like you have big ones. I mean, it's just like when we used to take baths together."
I shrugged, trying to make her feel better, even though seeing her naked still had me feeling strange. Like she'd suddenly become possessed by a demon,
She popped up in bed and leveled me with eyes that looked like they could burn holes right through me.
You, Colton Fowler, you are a fucking asshole.
I'd never heard her say the F word before. It sounded so foreign coming out of her mouth. I was shocked. I didn't like it at all.
What's wrong with you, Alex? I asked, standing.
You're acting like a girl.
Newsflash, I am a girl. Or haven't you noticed?
That's right, you've been too busy trying to kiss Marcy.
Oh, but she has big boobs, right?
I'm just Alex, scrawny boobless Alex.
Marcy does have a nice rack. I knew better than to say that right now.
Your boobs are nice too, Allie.
My voice shook with that admission. Alex blew out a long breath.
Just go home.
I grabbed her shoulder and turned her till she was facing me again. I'm not leaving till you tell me why you ran out of the pool house crying.
Al, all of our friends are still there, probably playing spin the bottle without us now.
Good,
she pouted.
I don't want to play that stupid game anyway.
Ah. Is that why you left? Because you don't want to play? I pushed her hair behind her ears.
You don't have to kiss anyone if you aren't ready, Al.
Her head shook and her voice trembled.
You forgot.
The tears began to spill over again. I was really not liking this girly side to Alex. My heart was pounding because I didn't know how to fix this. How to get out of this awkward situation with my best friend.
I forgot what, Al?
You were gonna kiss her, Colt,
she whispered, sniffling.
So?
So, we promised to learn together so neither of us would be bad at it. You were going to kiss her first. Then you would know how, and I would be left out.
The conversation we'd had a few years ago suddenly came back. The two of us watching My Girl. We'd promised then that we'd be each other's first kiss, just like Vita and Thomas. My throat thickened, and my pulse sped up.
I'm sorry, Allie. I did forget.
Do you still want to? She stared at me with her big brown eyes that were glistening with the tears she was fighting as she chewed her bottom lip.
Nah, just go. It's weird now.
But now I really wanted to kiss her, and it was obvious that it meant a lot to Alex. So, I didn't leave. Instead, I sat beside her on the bed, and my stomach roiled as I scooted closer. I lifted a hand to her face, and with my thumb swiped a tear from beneath her eye. My entire body trembled as I leaned forward and pressed my lips against my best friend's. Her hands were suddenly on my shoulders and then around my neck. After a few soft pecks, I went in for the kill, poking out my tongue and tracing her salty lips. She opened her mouth, and I shared the wettest, sloppiest, most uncoordinated first kiss there probably ever was with my best friend. It didn't last long, but it was enough to change something between us. After that kiss, there were times I saw her differently. Lying in the same bed no longer felt as innocent as it had in the past. And as we grew older, there were times that I was outright jealous seeing her with other guys. It was stupid. Alex and I were not together, and we'd never kissed again after my 13th birthday. But there were many, many times I'd regretted that kiss over the years. Maybe if it hadn't happened, things wouldn't have changed.
Chapter 2. Alexis. Age 15.
Allie, you look so beautiful, baby, Mama said, lifting her fingers to her lips as tears trickled down her cheeks. I rolled my eyes and scoffed before mumbling out my thanks and walking past her into the hall. I mean it. Colt's a fool. For the last time, Mom, I don't like him like that, I shouted, stomping down the stairs in my heels. I felt like a baby giraffe trying to walk in the damn things. I finally looked up from my feet when I reached the bottom step, and there he was, looking like a damned GQ model in the foyer, chewing his lip to keep from laughing at my embarrassment. Great. My face warmed. Hey, Colt, I called as I stepped onto the marble tile. Where's Marcy? He coughed. She's meeting us there. Us? It's our first homecoming, Alex. I thought we'd ride together. Well, at least he hadn't completely ditched me. It had been hard having to share my best friend with his new basketball teammates and the girls who fawned all over him at school. Skanky bitches. I felt him slowly slipping away, and I hated it. A goddamned fool, Mr. Fowler agreed as he walked out of the kitchen with my father trailing closely behind. Alexis, you look lovely, honey. I cleared my throat and looked up at Mr. Fowler. Thank you, sir. He was a big black teddy bear of a man and had always treated me like his own. Then my own father walked over, wrapping me in a tight hug and whispered, a damned fool, into my ear, and I'd had enough. I glanced over to Colton, whose head was now hanging in embarrassment, and felt my blood begin to boil. Why do y'all do this to us? Why do you have to make everything so weird just because we're in high school now? Nothing's changed. We don't like each other like that, okay? Stop trying to mess up our friendship. He's like my brother. It's gross. I felt that lie churn in my stomach. Just stop it, okay? All four of our parents mumbled and nodded, and Colt looked like he was about to punch someone. Why'd our parents always have to ruin everything? I walked over to my best friend and reached for his hand, tickling his palm with my newly manicured fingers. Sorry, Colt. With a tight-lipped smile, he shrugged. Don't worry about it, Al. Like you said, it'd be like dating my sister. He forced a laugh. Gross, he agreed, scrunching his nose. Ouch. That stung. The truth was that I'd slowly been developing feelings for Colton over the last few years, and I hadn't known what to do about them. Our parents teased us endlessly about how we'd been betrothed from the womb. Our mothers thought it would be the coolest thing ever to have their children wed. Our fathers had played ball together in school. They were ridiculously close, all four of them. They'd never monitored the two of us very closely because, honestly, I think they'd have been over the moon if a relationship ever formed between us. But one hadn't. Apart from that one kiss, Colt never showed any interest in me, and I tried for all I was worth to hide the immense attraction I had for him. I'd always thought Colton was beautiful, with his dark caramel skin and light green eyes. His hair was a mop of silky brown curls, and those dimples could melt the panties right off a nun. His muscles were becoming more defined. Somehow, my friend had turned into a sexy man-boy, and I wanted him. I wanted desperately to be on the receiving end of those flirty smiles he reserved for all the other girls. Girls who I knew were only my friends to get closer to him. I wanted the stolen kisses and admiring looks. I wanted to be more than one of the guys, and I had to get over it or I'd end up losing my best friend completely. I dropped his hand, feeling awkward. Let's just go. Mrs. Fowler drove us, trying to lighten our mood on the way, to no avail. Colt was pressed up against his door behind her seat and me against mine on the passenger side. We didn't speak to each other. Not one word. I'd never felt so uncomfortable with him in all my life. As she pulled up behind the line of cars waiting to drop their kids off, his mom glanced at us in the back seat with a toothy smile. You two lighten up. They were just teasing you. You only get your first homecoming once. Make the most of it, huh? I'll pick you two up at 11. Have fun! When the car finally rolled to a stop in front of the gym doors, I bolted as fast as humanly possible. Bile churned in my stomach. It felt like we'd just had a huge fight, only we hadn't. I headed straight for the bathroom, the one place I knew he couldn't follow, to fix my makeup and dry my eyes, and as luck would have it, bumped right into Marcy and her two minions, Jessica and Lacey.
"Hey, Alex," Marcy chimed with feigned excitement. "I take it Colton's finally here?"
Forcing a smile, I widened my eyes in a lousy attempt to keep the tears from falling in front of her.
"Yeah, he's somewhere around."
I hated that my voice broke.
"Great. You know I love you, right?"
she asked, placing a tentative hand on my shoulder. I could sense there was more coming. I swallowed the lump forming in my throat, nodded, and smiled.
"Mm-hmm. Just don't take this the wrong way, okay?"
she asked, smoothing her poofy pink skirt. I didn't even try to hide the eye roll as I crossed my hands on my chest. "What, Marcy?"
"Well, he's my boyfriend, yet he's always with you. I think maybe it's time you find a boyfriend of your own."
Light bulb. Why hadn't I thought of that myself? I smiled the first and last genuine smile I'd ever offered Marcy Mayweather.
"You know what, Marcy? I think you're right."
After she and her entourage left the restroom, I stared at myself in the floor-length mirror. I looked good, and I knew it. My royal blue dress was form-fitting with an open back. The bodice was covered in sequins, and the skirt was short and lined with layers of tulle. Coupled with my 4-inch silver pumps, my legs looked amazing. So maybe I didn't have much going on in the boob department yet, but my ass was to die for, and I owed it all to the rigorous workouts it took to uphold my position on the school's track team. I opened my silver clutch and applied a little more lipstick and the smoky eye I'd spent hours practicing at home. Then I released the pins in my hair and let it fall in a cascade of dark brown curls almost to my waist. I didn't know when I'd become that pathetic girl pining away for her best friend, but it ended tonight. When I walked out of those bathroom doors, instead of hiding from the boy who'd been my very best friend for all of my life, I'd take my rightful place beside him. I wasn't going to lose him over a stupid crush. Colton was mine first, and as long as I kept those feelings in check, he'd be mine forever. "Hey, guys," I called as I walked confidently over to Colton and our usual crowd, who were huddled near the DJ booth. Colt visibly did a double take.
"Hey, Allie, where you been? I was looking for you."
He eyed me skeptically. With a coy smile, I leaned in closer to whisper into his ear, allowing my lips to accidentally brush his skin.
"Restroom."
The manly scent of his cologne almost made me falter. Almost. He placed his hand on my bare back, and every nerve ending in my body sparked to life. He leaned in close, and I could smell the mint from the gum in his mouth. It took all of my resolve not to melt into a puddle at his feet.
"I like your hair down like that."
His warm breath caused a chill to move throughout my body. I shook it off and ruffled my hand into his curls before placing a kiss on his cheek.
"Thanks, bro,"
I said, stepping to the side.
"Alex,"
Colt's teammate, Ryan, purred.
"Looking good."
He roved his eyes up and down my body. Normally, I thwarted all of his advances. All of anyone's, really. God, how pathetic was I? But I smiled and returned his perusal.
"You don't look too bad yourself, right?"
From the corner of my eye, I could see the confusion on Colton's face. He'd just have to get used to seeing me with guys the same way I'd had to get used to seeing him with girls. Our friendship was too important to lose over hormones.
"You want to dance, Alex?"
Ryan asked, reaching for my hand. I think I shocked myself along with everyone else in the crowd when I smiled and answered, "I'd love to." I'd be lying if I said I didn't notice my own pain reflected in Colton's eyes on the dance floor, but in some twisted way, it felt good.
There he was with Marcy in his arms, and for once I wasn't feeling the sick pang in my chest alone. He felt it too. I could tell. And I'd bet he felt it a million times worse than me because I'd had years to adjust to it, and he was only just learning what it felt like to watch the other half of your heart in the arms of someone who wasn't you. I tried to focus on Ryan, to feel those familiar butterflies when he touched me, but he didn't even spark an ember. Nothing. I felt nothing when he pulled me tighter to his hard chest. Not even a flutter as he trailed his strong hands up and down the naked skin of my back, and when he licked the seam of my mouth and dove in, giving me my first kiss since the one I'd shared with Colt in my bedroom 2 years before, I had to fight the urge to retch. It was awkward at first, but when I saw the pissed-off look on Colt and Fowler's face, it suddenly became bearable. I got really into it, digging my nails into the back of his shirt. I gave as good as I got and felt a triumphant smile curl my lips as Ryan groaned into my mouth. So maybe it wasn't fireworks and butterflies. Maybe it paled in comparison to the innocent, inexperienced kiss I'd shared with Colt on my pink floral comforter. I could become addicted to the way it felt to make my best friend jealous. I think I just had. Ryan and I had worked ourselves into a steady rhythm, and after the third slow dance we'd spent with our tongues down each other's throats, I felt a tap on my shoulder. In my mind, it was Colt. He'd had enough and was coming to stake his claim on his girl. His girl being me. I'd have to reconsider all of this getting over Colt nonsense that I'd only just committed myself to. I smiled as I pulled my lips from Ryan's and turned to find a blinding white light shining right in my eyes.
"That's enough,"
Principal Hart said sternly, lifting Ryan's hands up from where they'd wandered to my bottom.
"Let the girl breathe."
My face warmed as our friends did little to hide their laughter. Mr. Hart also played ball with our fathers, and I knew I'd be hearing more about this later. The joys of growing up in small-town Texas.
"I'm really disappointed in you, Alexis," he said, drawing his brows together. "And Ryan, have a little more respect for the ladies, huh? Keep your hands above the waist, or I'll be calling your parents."
Ryan chuckled.
"Yes, sir,"
he responded with a salute.
"Sorry, sir."
Mr. Hart nodded and then turned his attention to Colton, who looked like he could breathe fire.
"Colton, don't let your friends disrespect her,"
he said pointedly, as if he were my keeper. I hated that everyone made him feel responsible for me.
"No, sir,"
Colt responded, glaring at Ryan. For the remainder of that evening, I felt the tension between us like a living thing. However, I didn't let that little embarrassment put a wrinkle in my plans. I flirted and danced with our friends, all while the warden seethed beside me.
Oh, he didn't say anything.
He didn't have to. His disapproving looks and the way he didn't leave my side said more than he could have. Eventually, he'd get used to it. He'd learn to hide it just as I had. Until then, I'd enjoy his misery. The ride home was quiet. Colt sat a little closer to me this time, but he didn't speak. I stared out of the window with a giddy smile on my face as I answered all of his mother's questions about the night. I may have gushed a little about how much I liked Ryan to rub salt in the wound. Hey, he'd been flaunting Marcy and all of his other girls in my face for 2 years. He deserved to suffer a little. I'd be sleeping over at Colton's tonight. We'd been spending the night at each other's houses since we were toddlers. It had become the routine for our parents to alternate weekends with us. It gave them kid-free time to do their own thing, and Colt and I were always together anyway. Colt stormed off to his room as soon as we got home. Mrs. Fowler asked if anything had happened, and I told her that I thought he and Marcy had gotten into it. I couldn't tell her the truth, although she'd probably have been proud.
"I'm so glad you had such a great time, honey. I was starting to wonder if you'd ever get into boys,"
she teased. "Although, you know, we'd still love you even if you liked girls. It would just make your betrothal a little harder to sell."
She winked. I'm not a lesbian, and I'm not marrying Colt. The sooner you all get that through your heads, the better. She giggled, wrapping a long tendril of my hair around her pale finger. Stop fighting fate, she whispered, kissing my forehead. You two were made for each other. You'll see, she added, slipping her finger from my hair and walking off to her room before I could argue. I huffed out a frustrated breath as I marched up the stairs. The butterflies that had lain dormant for most of the evening were stirring up a frenzy in my tummy. I rapped my knuckles lightly on Colt's door. When he didn't answer, I let myself in, noticing he'd already pulled out the trundle from beneath his bed. The trundle we had yet to use. We'd always slept together in his bed or in mine. He must be really pissed. I listened to the steady spray of the water from the shower through his bathroom door, and a waft of his soap filled his small room. I sat on the edge of his bed, feeling dejected, longing for the days when we were still innocent kids making mud pies and riding our bikes up and down the dead-end street for hours and hours. The bathroom lock clicked, and I sat up straighter, plastering a smile on my face to disguise the hurt. Hey, I whispered. Colton walked over to his dresser, grabbed one of his undershirts and a pair of boxer shorts from the drawer, and tossed them next to me on his bed. He looked so sad, and I almost regretted the entire night. But then I remembered all the times I wore that same look. All the times he hurt me, and I got those emotions in check real quick.
Hey,
he said quietly. Bathroom's free. I rose from his bed, my heart sinking to my toes, as I walked past him into the bathroom that was still steaming from his shower. I wished he'd have grabbed my arm and pulled my body to his, finally confessing that he too felt all of the same things for me that I'd been feeling for him. But he didn't. After shutting and locking the door, I sat on the edge of the tub, silently releasing all of the emotion that I could hardly contain any longer. I slipped out of my dress and into his clothes, bunching the collar of his shirt into my hand and holding it to my nose, breathing in his familiar scent, wishing that things could be different, that there really was such a thing as fate, that the two of us really were destined to be together. That it wasn't all just a bunch of bullshit that our parents had been feeding us since we were babies. I wished that they hadn't planted those romantic ideas in my head, that it didn't hurt so much to love him. Most of all, I wished that he'd loved me back. When I was sure that he was asleep and I wouldn't have to explain my red, swollen face, I crept out of the bathroom and found Colton quietly snoring on the trundle. He'd left me his bed. His body was curled into the fetal position, and his beautiful face turned toward the door. Reluctantly, I climbed into his bed, alone, and stared at the bare skin of his back that had somehow begun to change from a boy's into a man's without my permission. I fought the urge to crawl down there and lie next to him. He wouldn't push me away. But I respected his new boundaries, because one of us had to be strong enough to set some, and with tears soaking his pillow, I fell asleep to the familiar cadence of his quiet breaths.
Chapter 3. Colton. Age 17.
If you bring Chelsea, I'll bring Dean, I offered. It was the end of our junior year, and our families were getting ready to go on our yearly trip to Alex's grandparents' beach house in Pensacola. I knew she had a thing for my buddy Dean, and as much as it grated on my nerves, I also knew it was the only way to get her to bring my new girlfriend, Chelsea. She sucked on her teeth, shaking her head. I really don't like that girl, Colt. But I could tell she was starting to reconsider. I could get Allie to do anything with the right motivation. Come on, Al, I begged, sticking out my bottom lip. Please? I really like her. She rolled her eyes. You really like her big tits, she accused. I laughed. I do. I couldn't lie to her any more than she could to me. It was pointless. So, I stuck with brutal honesty. I'd really like to look at her big tits in a bikini for 2 weeks, too.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?